Welcome to the Champions Rugby Show with me, Martin Hindley. Today we're lucky enough to be speaking with the most decorated player in the history of Irish rugby. He's part of a Leinster rugby club with four stars on the jersey in the Heineken Champions Cup, a winner also of the European Rugby Challenge Cup, and a five-time winner of the Guinness Pro 14. He's also had multiple successes in the Guinness Six Nations, and he's among a select group of players to be named the best in Europe, that coming back in 2012. Joining me today is the Leinster Rugby and Ireland legend, Rob Kearney. Rob, thanks for coming on the Champions Rugby Show. You must be delighted that we're finally talking about rugby coming back and sport coming back. I mean, how are you doing right now?
Yeah, I'm really good, thank you, and thanks for having me on. Yeah, it's great to be talking about sport. It's a second replacement for watching it, isn't it? I think everyone misses watching sport and live sport in particular, but we are certainly getting closer to it, and there's a lot of excitement around for getting it back on our televisions.
Well, we're here to celebrate your history to date in your career in Europe's Premier Club competition. Let's go back to when you joined Leinster, which really was symbiotic with the start of the European adventure as the Leinster that we know today. I mean, how important was European success to the club back when you first signed back in 2005?
Yeah, it was something that was really important to the club. I think we had a very good group of players, a talented group of players who, you know, consistently were coming up short and probably underachieving a little bit. And, you know, Michael Checa came in 2006, I think it was, and he certainly changed the whole dimension and, you know, how we were viewed upon as a club, and he really brought us to a new level.
Had you been a big fan of the Heineken Cup before you first pulled on the jersey and got to play in it? I mean, what were your first memories of watching the tournament?
Yeah, I think the Heineken Cup, when I was growing up, it was the only type of club and provincial rugby that we were used to. There was no real league game. There was a bit of interprovincial matches down through the years with the Irish clubs, but, you know, after the international scene, the Heineken Cup really was the next big competition that everyone wanted to watch.
How did you develop at the start of your career through playing in the Heineken Cup, and what were your first memories of getting to grips with the different challenges that it presented?
Yeah, I think I was quite shocked at the up in pace, the up in intensity from it, from those league games. I made my debut in a league game and had maybe 3 or 4 months of just specifically league matches. And you never really know how much of a step up something is going to be until you actually experience it. And I think my first Heineken Cup game was against Bath in the RDS. It was the first time we were playing in RDS, having just moved from the Donnybrook Stadium. And it was a big deal. And it was something that I really enjoyed, obviously. But I do remember distinctly getting a bit of a shock as the up and ante to it.
We were lucky enough to speak with Dennis Hickey a few weeks ago on the Champions Rugby Show about that match in the quarterfinal in Toulouse, the 41-35 win in the quarterfinal in 2005-06. Being around the club, did it feel like a real birth in European club rugby? As we look back at it today, it seems like that, but did it feel like it at the time?
Yeah, it definitely felt like we'd made some big strides. Toulouse at that time, they were the very best of the best of European rugby. They had this incredible winning streak. They'd won so many Heineken Cups before that. Trying to go away and win in Toulouse was, you know, a very, very difficult task. And, you know, we pulled out an incredible performance that day. It was all real good attacking rugby. You know, some of the question marks about the Leinster team back around then was, you know, could we do it on a tough day away from France? And I think we proved that day that we were more than capable of doing it.
Many people look back and describe the impact that Michael Checa and his leadership had on that period and on what we see today in front of us as the modern Leinster rugby. Is it possible to summarize how exactly he did that?
He gave us a bit of grit and a bit of hardness, which was something that we were lacking at the time. You know, like I said, particularly in that Toulouse game, we showed as a team that we had the flair and the attacking ability to punish teams. But we probably needed that element of hardness. And, you know, he trained us really, really hard. Some of the toughest preseasons I've had in my 15 years were my first few ones under Michael Checa. And, you know, I think he single-handedly changed the culture of our team. And he brought us to a place where, you know, we could actually start succeeding and winning some of those tough physical games when you get into the final stages of the competition.
In all of those 15 years that you mentioned, has there been an experience for you and for the club quite like that semi-final in 2008-09 as you qualified for Murrayfield by beating Munster? As a club, as an individual, as a professional, has there been anything quite like that? And can you take us back to that time?
I think probably the quarter-final against Harlequins, the Bloodgate game, I think that was the first time that we really demonstrated as a team that we've added this another layer to our game and how we played rugby. We defended unbelievably well that day. We kept them tryless. We didn't score a try ourselves, which, you know, when people spoke about Leinster back then, it was almost, okay, we'll try and put more points in the opposition. We'll let a fair few tries in, but we'll try and score more. And I think that day we definitely showed that, you know, we were a team who could defend at the very highest level in European rugby, as well as attacking really strongly.
So you felt almost like you were adding different layers to the club bit by bit, and then there was that semi-final in front of 80,000. Must have been quite an experience.
That was an incredible game, and you know, I picked up an illness maybe 3 or 4 weeks before that game, after the Harlequins quarterfinal, and I didn't actually get to play in that game in Croke Park. And you know, when I look back at my career now, if there was one game that I could go back and play in, that would definitely be it. It changed Irish rugby. It changed Leinster rugby in terms of our fan base when we had that semi-final in 2006, I think it was, in the Lansdowne Road. It was 80% Munster supporters in Dublin. And then we fast forward to the one in Croke Park, and you could see the brand of Leinster rugby had changed. The support base had changed. And, you know, it was the perfect day for us to put our marker down and say that now we can finally start to compete with Munster and go on and win some trophies.
So you get to the final. You've played such a high-octane, high-energy game in the semi-final. So many emotions, all the things that you describe right there. How difficult was it to then go again when it came to Murrayfield and facing a Leicester Tigers side that had experience getting over the line for a European crown before?
Yeah, it was difficult, and I suppose it was our first final in Europe, so there's, you know, that brings its own element of nerves and pressure and anxiety with all of that. But, you know, the mettle that we showed on that day, and it takes a really good team to get to their first final in Europe and to actually win it. You see so many teams who've been through those knockout stages and fall at the last hurdle or the second last hurdle, and I think for us to get to our first final and win it gave us such an incredible ability to go on after those years and keep winning more.
There's the penalty, and it's gone to Leinster, and everybody knows it's Leinster at last. They've got there. Leo Cullen calmly checks. It wasn't just a final, but it's a first trophy as well. And the triangle of winners for Ireland in the Heineken Cup is complete.
You mentioned that grit that you managed to add to the character of that squad, being 16-9 down at one stage, and the way in which you managed to control parts of that second half to come back must have been really, really pleasing to all of you in the squad. I mean, was grit and character a big part of getting over the line in Edinburgh that day?
Yeah, I think grit and character on the big days is something that's always, you know, there's no replacement for it. And I suppose that's what, like I said, Michael Checa tried to really instill in us in those few years before he was there, because as a coach, he knew that unless you have strong characters and tough-minded players to be able to front up on those occasions, that you're going to fall at that final stage. And, you know, for him to have the foresight to see what we needed as a team and to instill it in us, you know, was a testament to him as a coach.
And it seems to be that around about that time as well, you developed so many players across the park who were genuine leaders. At what point did you feel that you were already starting to become one of those? Because it seems for all of the time that I've been watching the Heineken Cup, or what is now the Heineken Champions Cup, that you have been one of those characters that you can describe as a leader on the field. When did you feel that you were in that group, if you like?
You know, I was still quite young for that final. I was 22, 23, although, you know, I had maybe 3 years of Heineken Cup experience under my belt. You know, when you're that young, you certainly do look around to the older guys and, you know, the Shane Horgans, the Brian O'Driscolls, the Malcolm O'Kelly, Felipe Contepomi was incredible in that campaign for us. But, you know, when you are young in the team, there's definitely an onus on you to become a leader within yourself. You might not always be the most vocal of person on the field at that point, but you have to lead by your actions too. And, you know, the more inclusive you feel a part of the team, the more you are able to sort of develop yourself as a leader.
Well, we've had plenty of leadership stories about the second Heineken Cup that was lifted by Leinster Rugby in Cardiff, that extraordinary comeback in what was then the Millennium Stadium in 2011. Your best memories of what was an extraordinary day against Northampton Saints?
Yeah, that was incredible. And unfortunately for me, again, that was a season that I had quite a long-term injury. So I played the first three rounds of the competition, I think, and then missed the remainder of it. But you know, I think when you're looking back at the Heineken Cup over the last 15 years, that is the one game that people will remember, and particularly Leinster fans. That comeback in the second half was nothing short of extraordinary.
Plays it short to Sean O'Brien, one of the players of the tournament, and Leinster drive over and get a hand on the cup. It's set to be glory again. It is a magnificent recovery. The greatest recovery of all time in this competition. Nathan Hines deserved it. Leinster deserve it.
How important was it to the club to have backed up that first win? Obviously, Munster had two titles by that time. You've mentioned about Toulouse, who won their fourth in 2010. How important was it to get over the line a second time? And what role did that play in what looked like a real Leinster juggernaut the year after, when you got up against Ulster at Twickenham for a third star on the jersey?
Yeah, I think, you know, Joe Schmidt came into the team after Michael Cheka, and he really accelerated us as a team. So Cheka had laid all the fundamentals and the foundations of what it took to be, you know, a very good team, been able to compete at a high level. Like I said, he brought in that hardness, that grit. But Joe Schmidt came in and he just completely added five more layers to our attacking ability. And, you know, we were just such a dangerous team with ball in hand, as well as having an ability to defend really well. We were strong at set piece. Our scrum was good. There was no real weaknesses in our team for those few years.
I'm going to read you a list of names now. Ronan O'Gara, Sean O'Brien, Johnny Wilkinson, Stefan Armitage, Nick Abendanen, Maro Itoje, Owen Farrell, Leonie Nekarawa, Alex Good. And in the middle of those, Rob Carney, European Player of the Year in 2012. Had that ever sunk in, what you achieved in that year, to be named Europe's finest?
I suppose no, it didn't really. And, you know, players will always say that individual accolades are something that aren't important to them. And, you know, winning the competition is the most important thing. And of course it is. Getting the medal at the end of the day is the most important thing. But there's a huge amount of satisfaction when you've been named the best player in the competition. And I suppose for me personally, because I was out injured the year before, and Leinster had won the Heineken Cup, and Easton Athabo was playing full back and did a superb job the year before, you know, where I probably felt my position was under threat a little bit. So to be able to come in the following season and play some of my best rugby after being out for so long was something that I take a huge amount of pride in.
That must have made that final against Ulster and Twickenham, and the manner in which Leinster commanded a final with such strength from minute one right to minute 80. That must have made that quite special, being as part of that year. And as you say, after having such a sustained period on the sidelines the previous year.
Yeah, it was incredibly special. And for the, you know, for the Heineken Cups that went before that in 2009, to get ill before the semi-final, and then I was on the bench for the final, I suppose I felt a much greater sense of belonging and contribution to that Ulster campaign when we won that game. I think the semi-final away in Clermont was probably one of Leinster's best performances down through the years, to win away in France against, you know, the team who you could argue were probably favourites that year. And, you know, it was such a tight game. And, you know, we nearly lost it in the last play of the game, the last few minutes, when Wesley Fofana knocked the ball on just over the line. That'll go down as one of my favourite Heineken Cup memories, that semi-final away to Clermont.
Control. The ball's popped up in the air and he's lost it, Miles. But Jeff Warren. Called upon again, Jeff Warren. Then the Wayne Barnes could hear him. It's no try. Fofana fooled the crowd, but he didn't fool the officials. He didn't have it. And now Leinster might have it.
Can you describe quite how, in the 15 years that you've been with Leinster Rugby, what is now the Heineken Champions Cup has become part of the fabric of the club, really? I mean, I remember seeing a video of the fourth star being printed on the jersey after Bilbao in 2018. And, you know, it was one of those kind of hairs stand up on the back of your neck experiences, because you understand how important it is to everybody who wears blue in Dublin. From an inside perspective, how has that changed down the years?
When you go and get three stars and four stars, it gives you a huge sense of ambition. I think, you know, you've done it so many times down through the years, and you just get really greedy. And every time you get one star, it's just about getting the next star. And, you know, since that final in Bilbao against Racing Metro 92, everything has been about the fifth star and getting the next one. And we got to the final the following year. And, you know, it was a very disappointing day in St. James's Park against Saracens. I think we went 10-0 up. And, you know, we had some opportunities to win the game, particularly in the second half, that we just didn't take. And, you know, it highlights the quality of other teams in the competition down through the last few years, namely Saracens, and how difficult they are to beat on the day. You know, but it's all about getting the next one. And we built up such a great momentum this season. And, you know, it was disappointing that it has ended in the way it has. But in the off season, we've been training really hard as a team. And, you know, we're hoping that, you know, we get back into rugby in August, September time and put ourselves in the best possible position to go and get that fifth star.
Talk to us about the experience of the fourth star in Bilbao. Obviously, if you look at the first three successes, you were in relatively familiar surroundings in Twickenham, in Cardiff and in Murrayfield, but heading out to a soccer stadium in the Basque Country and the very different atmosphere that it created, it must have been a very different experience for you and the group.
It was different, but there was a real thrill to it as well. It was something different. You know, we weren't going to a stadium in France where, you know, you'd expect the French to get a huge amount of support. And, you know, while it was different for us, we understood that it was very different for them as well. And I think that season we were playing incredible rugby. We were a team that was really difficult to beat. We took a huge amount of confidence from our quarterfinal and semifinal, where we played, you know, probably some of the best rugby we have done in the last number of years. And we went to Bilbao with a lot of confidence. And, you know, we knew that they were a very strong team, and they played a really good game that day. I think their game plan was excellent. And, you know, we couldn't play the same type of rugby that we had done in the quarterfinal and semifinal. Conditions were very poor. They were dominant at set piece. But, you know, we had become a very complete team that could win any type of game on the big day. And I think we proved it that day.
You've also, as we said in the intro, you've also lifted the European Rugby Challenge Cup, beating Stade Francais back in that final in 2013. Also, quite a few matches in a campaign that, whilst it wasn't three Heineken Cup wins in a row, must have still been pretty special for you to pick up another piece of silverware in a final in which you impressed as a side.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you get knocked out of the competition, it's very disappointing, particularly for the group of high achievers and a club like Leinster Rugby. You know, we'd won it the year before, and to not make the qualification stages was very disappointing. But, you know, there's a huge amount of ambition in the club, like I say. And when you put yourself back into a position to win a trophy, okay, it might not be the one you want to lift, but at least it gives you an opportunity to lift some silverware at the end of the season, which is really the end goal of what you start out every season to do, is to try and lift a trophy at the end of it.
You mentioned that going to Bilbao for that final in 2018, you'd played some excellent rugby in the quarterfinals and semifinals at the Aviva Stadium against Saracens in that superb quarterfinal display, and then against Scarlets with a big margin in the semifinal as well. When we get back to play, it's going to be Saracens again. A lot of water has passed under the bridge then, as we've both alluded to, but what will be the key to success for you and for Leinster when rugby gets back underway once more?
The great thing about Leinster Rugby and Stuart Lancaster in particular is a lot of the times our training is harder than the games. He trains us really hard as a team. And I think the more that you can sort of train to prepare for the really tough games, and you become, I suppose, very comfortable being uncomfortable, is something that is a big philosophy in his coaching mantra. You know, to get Saracens in a quarterfinal after being top seed is... You know, it's a tough one, because they obviously are the team that beat us in the Heineken Cup final last year. But like you say, a lot of water has gone under the bridge since then. They'll be down a few players, but they will still certainly be, you know, a huge challenge. I think the fact that most likely it'll be behind closed doors will take a little bit of an advantage away from Leinster. But, you know, the more we can just train really hard over the next couple of months and prepare as best we can for that game, the better.
You mentioned Stuart Lancaster there. A word on Leo Cullen as well. You've shared the dressing room with him as teammate, as colleague, as captain, but then also as director of rugby. How have you seen that transition? And he seems an incredibly cool character under the different pressures of professional rugby these days.
Yeah, he is. And I think because he had so much good experiences with handling the big day and captaining some huge occasions, there's a real calmness to him on the big day. And, you know, players can sense that. And, you know, when you see a coach who's very chilled and sort of has confidence in the team and doesn't get too uptight or anxious about the big day, it instills a lot of confidence in the players, like I said. And, you know, when you've got that as director of rugby and head coach and Stuart Lancaster, who's a really strong philosophy in terms of how he wants us to play, he's excellent at educating the players on exactly how he wants us to play. They make a really good team together, and they complement each other really well.
Your role of honour is so long that we can't go into everything that you've won in the game, but you're not long turned 34. You're still incredibly young. What are your plans still in rugby, and have you given thought to what the post-playing life might bring to you?
I think saying incredibly young is probably a little bit of a too much of a compliment.
I'm 37. I'd love to be back 34 if it's on offer.
Listen, I've had some great days down through the years with Leinster Rugby. And, you know, like I say, when I look back on the past, you think of so many brilliant days, so many heartache days. But I think ultimately you look at the trophy cabinet and appreciate all those big games and trophies that you've won. And, you know, thankfully now I'm in a position to head into the next 3-4 months where I can add to that. And there's still a league trophy on the table and a Heineken Cup trophy on the table. But, you know, that is really just the sole focus at the moment. I'm trying to add a few more medals to the locker, I suppose.
Well, we certainly look forward to seeing you back on the field very soon for the conclusion of the Heineken Champions Cup and of the domestic championship as well. We wish you the very best for both of them, and thank you for joining us to take us down memory lane from your European Cup adventures. Thank you very much, Rob.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it.
Brilliant to check in there with Leinster Rugby and Ireland legend Rob Carney on Checker and Schmidt, on character and on grit. Please remember to subscribe, rate and review our Champions Rugby show. It's been a pleasure to have you in our company for it. We've got another European legend coming up shortly to tell you their story from what is now a quarter of a century of history of the Heineken Champions Cup. But until then, from me and all the team, goodbye.